Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things.
Here's a motorsport that I've just discovered that I didn't know existed, which Instagram offered me on a digital platter. Electric scooter, competitive electric scooter racing. You know the ones that you can borrow via app and go around cities and then discard them in front of, I don't know, on pathways in front of old people.
Yeah, in a disabled parking bay blocking the entrance to a library or something.
Or in a bus lane in Paris, which I saw once. Someone just put it down in a bus lane and then just walked off and put their phone in their pocket. And you're thinking, so the bus is going to turn up any minute now and either trample it in rage or...
It's just extraordinary how people can be such sort of casual pricks, isn't it? You just go... It doesn't. It would take no more effort to leave it somewhere else.
No.
But no. No. Like people who just can't. I saw a car the other day where it was taking up two spaces because they parked so badly that they were sort of diagonal almost within a space and it was encroaching into the space next to it. And it was really far back. Like it was about 3 feet back from the curb that delineated the top of the space. And I just thought, that's someone who's so terrible at driving and finds it such a chore, they just can't be arsed. They've just gone, oh, I hate turning the steering wheel. It's so annoying. I'm just going to leave it here. You just go, that's idleness, selfishness, and just being a prick, which is sort of like...
It's quite a package.
It really is.
In fact, it's a trim level. It's probably a trim level in some cars. What is it again? Can you repeat those pillars of...
Idleness, selfishness and being a prick. Although I sort of feel like being a prick... It's like the being a prick pack encompasses... You get
pack.
For free the idleness and the prick pack. Anyway, scooter racing. Was this a couple of weeks ago in London? There was a sort of inaugural electric scooter racing event I saw...
Yeah, well,
again,
I think
through the socials.
Was it anything to do with Formula E? I don't know,
but I don't know.
I think the thing that I guess it does appeal to probably a different demographic / age group to me. But the thing that makes it a bit more laughable is because the scooters are very low and slender, aren't they? So all you're seeing is a person in full, colourful. Like superbike leathers, holding on to some very spindly handlebars, and all I'm doing because I'm looking at how low the centre of gravity is and sort of how frisky they're getting and leaning quite hard. I'm thinking, this is just born for high sides. There's going to be so many high sides of people being ragdolled in Alpine Stars suits.
That's what I thought when I saw it. I was like, this is not really a motorsport. This is just a way of sort of synthesizing. Some rubbish accidents.
Yeah.
Synthesizing a load of grazed knees, except they are wearing leathers, aren't they? So,
well, that
they're probably protected.
I'm glad you said that because I think in order to spice said new motorsport up, I think they should do it without any protection.
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah, you should go for city life. So you should have the guy in the crop trouser and the very, very thin, almost translucent weave t-shirt. So you can see the nipples and the navel because he's going quite fast, so they sort of stick into the front end. And he's got a couple of like gap year bracelets on and probably some expensive sunglasses instead of a visor or anything. And he definitely doesn't want to come off in front of... He doesn't want to come off at all, but he doesn't want to come off in front of his mates or millions of people live streaming the event.
Do you think they have to insist that every competitor has a messenger bag over their shoulders as well?
Oh, gosh, yeah, 100%.
And you can put things in the messenger bag. The way that, there's a weight limit, so you have to
Oh, it carries ballast in the messenger.
Have to ballast it. So it's like, okay, now, Josh, you're going to have to take one of those big MacBooks, okay, because you need to carry a bit of extra weight because you're quite a slight guy. But Max, you're okay. You just have to have an iPad and a big notebook in yours, okay, and that's fine. And then everybody's also got to carry a one of those frozen coffees.
Oh, gosh, can you imagine that?
And you're only allowed to discard the frozen coffee when you've drunk it.
Or in a holster. Is it on the bars? Or is it
in one
hand?
Are they rideable with one hand?
I'm going to say no. You'll instantly twist the bars and go chin over arse.
I feel as if I have seen somebody riding one whilst holding a takeaway drink.
Oh, that's so London. So damn London.
It's so London. I'm leaving London, you know, I'm moving out imminently in a few days. And so I've been sort of trying to catch up with a few people and do a few sort of London-y things. And the other night I did possibly the ultimate London media wanker thing before I move out, which is I went to the Groucho Club.
Did you?
Because a friend of mine, yeah, a friend of mine's a member there, and we were going for dinner, and he went, let's just go to the Groucho Club, just get a table in the restaurant there. And we walked in, a few of us, and we walked in, and as we got to the restaurant, one of our mates went, did everyone else see Andrew Ridgeley back there? And I went, I don't think so. And I was suddenly going, you know, as soon as someone says Andrew Ridgeley, your mind thinks of Andrew Ridgeley in the 80s wearing a white T-shirt white shorts.
Yeah, like 38 years ago, Andrew
Ridgeley.
Yeah,
but I know what Andrew Ridgeley looks like now because I've seen him and he's lost his hair, but he's, you know, he sort of still looks like Andrew Ridgeley. So I went, well...
Oh, so it was him. It was really him.
Well, this is the thing. Then our mate went, I'm pretty sure it was Andrew Ridgeley. I'm starting to doubt myself now. So I was like, well, hang on, I need the loo. I'll go back through the bar and downstairs to the loo there, and I will see if I can clock Ridgeley. And I walked through it. Sure enough, it was Andrew Ridgeley, surrounded by three or four women. Just sort of, he was leaning on the bar, and it felt like he sort of just gathered a crowd of women who were just, and he was there, and he looked very tanned and relaxed, and he was just chatting away. And I thought, it doesn't seem like it's a bad life being Andrew Ridgeley.
I think it's probably a great life of Ridgeley. Because post Wham, when George Michael decided to go solo, didn't he just retire and go, that's it, I think I'm done, I'm cool with that?
He gathered up a member of Bananarama and he just packed up his car.
He packed up his Testarossa and he drove down.
I was going to say a white Countach, but
he definitely would have had a testy.
White Testarossa, yeah.
And packed it in and then driven to Cornwall.
Drove to Cornwall and just went, that's me, I think. I think I'm all right. Going to go surfing, work on my tan. And I'm pretty okay with that. Because George Michael gave him a co-write credit on Careless Whisper, I think, but even though he didn't really work on it.
I remember you
and
telling
that
me
alone,
this.
I think this is the story. And that alone has meant that, you know, Andrew Ridgeley will never starve.
No.
And... it might have even been Last Christmas. Maybe it was Last Christmas, because I bet the royalties on that are solid.
They're colossal.
From mostly from the December period. But
Richard. It's not going to be from the June period, is it?
No. Do you know what happened the other day? My daughter just went, can we play Jingle Bells? I was like, what? It's May. And she went, I want to listen to Jingle Bells. So I... And she was very adamant, as four-year-olds can be, to the point, you know, when kids of that age, sometimes it's just easier to give in on minor issues.
Hell yeah.
Than it is to argue the point. And she, at the moment, is full of just insistent behaviour. The other week when she's told me that spiders can speak, and I had to talk her through why that's not true. she's all manner of opinions about snakes that don't make any sense. And then, well, it's to listen to Jingle Bells. And we put Jingle Bells on, and it was like having, I don't know, like a sort of weird out-of-body experience. Because it was sunny outside that morning.
Oh, I don't know
if
this
doesn't
like
make
that.
Any sense. It feels weird.
I'd have to reset the ECU.
Do you ever remember, did you ever have, in the 80s or 90s, did you ever have those jeans you were supposed to get in the bath wearing them to shrink them?
Yeah, so they fitted around your specific body.
Did you ever do that?
No, I didn't, Rich. Did you?
Yeah, it feels weird.
Did you really?
getting into a bath with jeans on. It feels really, it feels wrong. It's like you're just summing up.
I bet you had a wee while you were there.
Well, no, because you're weeing through new jeans, aren't you? There's no,
yeah, but it might help the shrink process. I don't know.
But it's just it's something that feels off. You go, this is okay. There's no law against this, but it feels something's off. It's because your brain's going, wearing jeans. I know that feeling. I've worn jeans a lot. And the other half of your brain's going, getting in the bath. I've done that. That's not a new sensation. But combine the two, it's like Heston Blumenthal sort of, you know, it's like, oh, I know what ice cream's like. And I know what chicken Madras is like. But chicken Madras ice cream? What's going on? And it's a similar sort of sensation, just getting in the bath with jeans on.
Doing or things that don't quite feel right.
Listening to Jingle Bells on a sunny morning.
Yeah,
I
couldn't do that. I'm not sure.
Well, it was like if I make a stand on this with my daughter, it's like I'm going to have to give in on something else. Like, I don't know. Daddy can have an alligator.
Is it like a convertible in deepest winter? Is it one of those type of things where there's something quite exciting?
No, but I like that.
I kind of like that as well, but it's a challenge, and people will frown at you and go, "I don't understand." Although, in the last 2-3 days, I've seen a Range Rover Evoque convertible every day, and it isn't the same one because I've been in completely different parts of the UK.
What?
But yeah, and they've all been the same colour, that kind of orange Doritos orange.
Yeah.
And I do like them, actually. I think that it was a good shape. But it's been warm every day, like warm enough for a cabrio, and none of them have had the top down. And it enrages me.
Mm.
It enrages me.
Particularly because it's so low effort to put the roof down on a modern convertible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like, take 10 seconds of your day, whatever it is, 20, push the button.
I bet they've got the con on. And, of course, that might upset me even more, but we can't go there. We can't go there.
No.
We can't go there.
I see in the winter, I do enjoy, because it reminds me of Baked Alaska, the pudding. That sort of, if you get the heat cranked up in a convertible, and it's got heated seats as well, and you get that real sort of hot feeling, but the air around your head and shoulders is cold. So you get that real mismatch of temperatures, and I find that quite invigorating.
Is it, what's that Italian pudding, is it affogato, where you have the ice cream and you pour an espresso over it that's still steaming hot, and it creates crater. A very caffeiney crater.
Yeah.
And I like that because you get a real... And usually I have it too late, so I'm coming on cam when I'm supposed to be going to bed.
You're lying in bed with a very high idle.
I'm lying in bed. Yeah, you can actually hear your heart like a sort of Bosch fuel pump in a rally car or something going, yeah, come on, let's do this. Yeah, come on. And I'm like, I'm not ready. No, I shouldn't have done it because I've got to get up, you know, fairly early. Idiot, you've ruined the metabolism. What are you doing? but at the same time, a lovely dessert and probably worth the risk. But yeah. Oh, Ridgely. Going back to Ridgely a second.
Yes.
So he went down to Cornwall before it was cool to relocate to Cornwall. And if foreign listeners are listening to the cast, obviously Cornwall is down in the southwest of the UK, which is like the English Riviera. It's calm weather, and it's the best, probably the best seaside locations we've got.
It's the pointy bit down bottom left.
Bottom left.
Corner of
bottom
Britain,
left.
Most, the most southwestern.
But you see, but originally went down there way before it was sort of cool to have a second home, probably down there, and he fully went down there from what I gather. So he went down there such a long time ago. Was it just him and possibly pirates that lived down there, and that's it? It was just the 50% of Wham and pirates.
Yeah, it was pirates,
smugglers,
tin
sorry,
miners,
smugglers. Yes,
pasty chefs, and 50% of Wham.
What a combination.
Hell of a party. I mean, imagine going into the local pub, except...
It'd be a tavern. You call it a tavern. It wouldn't be called
a tavern.
A tavern,
of course, a tavern. Or, if you will, could it be an inn?
It could be an inn, absolutely an inn.
Okay, but yes, definitely a tavern. And
I love
with very, very sort of gothic-y writing on the sign.
Yes.
And ye would have walked in, and there's just a load of blokes in miners' helmets, a guy with a parrot on his shoulder, and a very tanned man from Hertfordshire dressed all in white.
What, with shorts that are so short you can sort of see the arch liner when he sits down?
Yeah,
you know, if a... like when you park a car on full lock and you can see inside
you
the wheel.
You can see all the bits
like,
you don't normally
you
see.
Go, well, I'm sure I need
Andrew,
to.
Pull your shorts down, mate. I can see your strut tower.
Yeah, exactly.
He's, yes, exactly that. White tennis shorts and a white T-shirt. Maybe he's still got the Choose Life T-shirt on. I don't know.
One of those.
Yeah, basically,
he had one
when we split up, the record company said I could take a couple of boxes of these, so I did. Stuck them in the Testarossa on the way to Cornwall.
He has, that's right. What an amazing thing. Yeah, he caught the strakes of the testy. I would call, if I had a Testarossa, I would call it a testy. He's caught the strakes going down those narrow Cornish lanes. You know, the ones that when you get down to the cove, he's caught it on a few kind of like bushes and verges, but it's okay. It still fully functions, of course, so it's absolutely fine. But so Ridgely and some smugglers. What
do you think?
Scene?
So Ridgely was down there before Rick Stein.
Pre Stein.
Is Rick Stein from Cornwall?
No, I'm pretty sure he's not.
I feel like he's not.
No, he's been down there a long time and.
He pretends he is.
Yeah, I feel like, possibly Rick Stein owns, 86% of Cornwall? I don't know.
By volume, yes.
He's a high-volume Cornwall owner. but I get the impression, you know, it's like, if I was Cornish, I'd just probably be a bit bored of hearing about Rick Stein. I mean, I remember watching a cooking show of his once, and it was something like Rick Stein says, "Come to Cornwall or else." And I don't know, can't remember what it was. And just he actually said with his own mouth, "I just don't understand why more people don't have oysters for breakfast." And I was out. At that point, I was completely out. It was like,
oh,
this
that's
is
Jingle Bells in May. Surely
this is,
your brain would be going, "What the
fuck
is going on here?"
Awful. Oh, I mean, yeah. I know in Norway it's a delicacy and pretty common to eat things like a sort of mackerel. It looks like mackerel toothpaste for breakfast on, you know, like a bruschetta type thing.
Yeah.
And I've tried it because I like these things most of the time, but not for breakfast. It feels too strong, a little bit too hardcore for breakfast. Meanwhile, Stein's getting cross and pointing at everybody because he's in his little dinghy. He's been out since 3 a.m. gathering up all manner of whelks and shellfish. And he's just spooning them in and just shouting, yeah. "I can't believe you're eating Frosties. That's horrible, you cheap bastard.
Idiot. Have a Bream smoothie. Yeah, it's delicious. Goes great with these breakfast pork chops that I've just cooked." He's going, "What is wrong with you, Stein? Your breakfast roast potatoes look awful. Why are you doing this?" He's a loose cannon. I tell you what, though. I went to Japan once and we had dim sum for breakfast in the hotel. And that was initially Jingle Bells in May. And then by the second day, I was like, bring it on.
I'll do that.
Dapping all the way. This is delicious. So it's, you know, stuff can be, you can force your brain to accommodate this stuff if it works. But because I quite like a Scandinavian breakfast with your meats and your cheeses and things. I mean, I'm not sure about the fish toothpaste, but the other stuff, I can quite get on board with it.
Yeah, my brother's very much a sort of savoury breakfast guy. If he doesn't do breakfast, he would be into that kind of stuff. Or that German bread that's so dark and dense, it looks a bit like you've cut a piece of racetrack out and then just started eating it. I can't remember the name of the bread, but I've tried it several times and I still can't get to grips with it. You just go, is this actually bread?
It's an incredibly intense experience.
Yeah, it's really intense. I'll look up the actual... I'm going to do a U and I might Google live.
Google
dark
what?
German bread.
Dark, intense German bread.
It's very, very dense. Very dense.
I mean, too dense, quite
is
honestly.
Schneiderbrot rye bread Organic Schneiderbrot. Yeah, or Black Forest bread. Schwarzwalder.
Oh.
Black bread.
Like Black Forest Gatto.
Yeah, why is German bread so dark? It has high rye content, which leads to darker colour, denser interior and crunchier crust compared to lighter Italian or French breads. Okay. So, yeah, you don't need much of it. You don't need much of it. It can catch you out.
I just think you don't need much of it at all. In fact, I would almost go to say that I
don't need it.
I don't need it at all. I could live without it. Because I'll have the meats and cheeses, thank you, Germany, but not the Schneiderblut.
You'd have lots of smoked sausage in the morning.
You see, now there's a thing that I really like is currywurst. Not for breakfast.
Yeah.
But as German delicacies go, I'm a big fan of the currywurst. And actually, that white sausage that can look quite unappealing from a distance.
Yes, it can. It can.
I mean, like really unappealing, like a dead elephant's cock or something. But the ones I've tried,
something that died
absolutely
in water,
delicious
in cold water,
oh,
and
gosh,
it's been there
yes,
for a while. You know, like when a body gets washed up in a murder mystery TV drama. It's that.
Yeah.
It looks like a finger or an ankle of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like really washed out. Well, I've tried it a few times, and it's because it's often quite sort of heavily seasoned, and it's delicious.
How do we get onto this subject? I just can't remember.
I have no idea. Mean, because of Andrew Ridgeley, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's all
Andrew
to do with
anyway,
Cornwall.
To sum up, Cornwall. Andrew Ridgeley invented Cornwall, basically, along with pirates and tin miners and...
Poldark. He goes drinking with Poldark. That's what he does.
It's all right. He says to, I can't remember which member of Bananarama he's married to. Is it Karen? I think it's.
What about if it's Karen all of them? He's sat at some sort of Bananarama harem.
So he didn't have a Testarossa. He had a 412 Ferrari.
Yes, because he needed
the
extra.
Only one made in white and right hand drive, and with white leather. And he was like, right, girls, listen, if you're getting in here, you're going to have to wear all white because I don't want to get any stains on the white leather. So he basically, he went into the Groucho, he scooped up all three of Bananarama.
Yep.
And they don't mind getting into the back of a two-door car, as we know from the Band-Aid video where they're emerging from a Golf. So they're all piled into the 412.
Yes.
Off to Cornwall. New life. Everyone's happy.
It's called a Lady Rari. He refers to it as a Lady Rari because it allows more ladies inside. Because, a two-seat is just not enough.
But then of an evening, Sunday evening, for example, not much on the telly, or Bananarama, they wanted to watch something he's not interested in.
Yeah.
He's like, I tell you what, Bananarama, I'm just going to pop down ye old tin tavern.
Tavern, yeah.
have a couple of... pints with Poldark.
Yeah.
Hoping Rick Stein doesn't come in. Can't stand that guy.
Oh, really, no, cool. What an absolute flute. Yeah. He's going to do a bit of medieval karaoke with the smugglers.
What, with a lute?
Yeah. There'll be all manner of very rudimentary musical instruments. So, yeah, lute, crumhorn, sackbutt, all the usual. The thing that's not quite a drum that might be a drum. It's like a tambourine with all the bits missing. the thing. You hit it with a tree branch. That thing.
Oh no, it's not one of those ones where you hit it with a little thing that looks like one of those honey scoops. Sort of that, for some reason, you can't touch it directly. You have to use that little thing, but with both ends. It's like a serving spoon or a salad fork or something. I don't know. But that's it. There's no backing tapes. There's
I just drank coffee as you were, and it reminded me of, I only ever see those things in hotels, but they're really good.
The honey
twiddle spoon thing. Yeah, I love the honey,
yes.
Honey twiddler.
Honey twiddler. We've got one somewhere, I think, that we were given as part of a set of shit. Yeah.
I'll buy it off you if you don't want it. I've been looking for one. It's just one of those things.
I didn't say I don't want it. I just said we don't really use it, though, because we have...
spoons. That,
yeah, well, no, because it is good. It's the kind of thing you'd get out if you had guests and you were being a bit fancy and you were having cheese, because...
Yeah.
a strong cheese with a bit of honey is
good combo. Actually,
that's a treat.
That is a nice combo, and
And it's good to get the honey. Now it's probably got a name, hasn't it? But I don't know what it is.
Well, it's the thing you also play an Irish drum with, or a.
Well, that's. I'm wondering if, in fact, someone gave us a drumstick for a small handheld drum, and we've erroneously been using it to scoop out honey for when we have guests around.
So yeah, Ridgely's doing very old school karaoke.
Yeah,
and that's what he's into. Because of course, you know, back then Cornwall was the land that time forgot. So there really weren't that many tourists.
Were there not? Genuinely, I don't know. I feel like it's, you know,
now
Cornwall is absolutely packed with tourists. But
I think less so. Less so. But yes, there were. I mean, like I obviously grew up and lived in the southwest, but it's still a few hours away to Cornwall. But yeah, you'd see there would be all of the cars descending on the southwest for the in the hope of better weather and surf.
I know quite a few people who like to go on holiday to Cornwall.
Yeah,
and all of them, because I always go. Oh, every time I think about going to Cornwall, I just think I can't be bothered with the traffic and the aggro and lots of posh twats. And they always go, oh, the traffic's fine. All we do is we get up at 3 a.m. and we set off then and it's fine. You just go, I don't want to do that. I find that annoying if it's a flight. Never mind when you're in control of your own destiny in a car. I just can't be bothered.
I don't mind doing the dawn raid, but when you've got kids, that's a trauma.
Oh, it's aggro, yeah.
My wife won't do it. She just won't do it.
No,
and I know families do it. A lot of families that go skiing do it. Dad will drive through the night with a flask of, I don't know, Blue Zeus or something. And
just stopping intermittently to order one of those Italian desserts.
Oh, an affogato.
Espresso poured over ice cream. So it's a bit, you've got the sugar from the ice cream and the hit of.
Oh my gosh, by the time you get to the ski resort, you.
Is it right? Well, I won't be going to bed for the rest of the holiday, kids, so you are just going nocturnal skiing with a high idol.
I'm just popping into the Alpine dentist because I appear to have chattered all my teeth away on the way there. So just going to get some sort of mouth guard fitted and I'll be right with you.
Popping to the Alpine cardiologist because it's really not slowing down. Getting a bit worried now. I don't know what we were talking about before that. Oh, I was going to say, well, so I've got a friend who's from Cornwall. He was born in Cornwall.
Yeah.
He grew up there until he was, I don't know, sort of 7 or 8. And then his family moved away. But his wider family still lived down there. When his uncle died, he inherited his cottage. So he still owns that. And he goes back there a lot. And he's still got family down there. And he sort of thinks of himself as Cornish. But because he moved away for a bit when he was a child, he is very much regarded as an outsider.
Well, yeah,
by his own
he's regarded as a holiday maker.
Well, that's it, because he doesn't live there now. And I think it's slightly upsets him, because it's like, in his heart, he thinks he's Cornish, but the Cornish don't think he is.
Well, maybe it's the same if I was to. I've said never say never about me moving back towards Somerset, the homeland, but I feel like I'd probably be regarded as a bit of a holiday maker. Because I haven't been there since I was 18. You know, I left there when the internet was at its fledgling stage. And
okay. But
I don't know where this conversation's going. I'm still thinking about Poldark doing, I don't know, like a medieval rendition of Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. But obviously with a bloke absolutely wanking the lute in the background.
I'm sorry, what? Wanking the
lute. Yeah, you know, down on one knee. Yeah, Gibson
what,
flying.
Doing like a
Gibson flying
a
lute
solo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know how many strings a lute's got. I think it's got quite a lot. But
has it?
I think. Oh, I don't know. Someone, a listener of this show, will know exactly how many strings a lute has.
They're sort of a bit twatty lutes, aren't they? just go. Why have you learnt that? It's not relevant. Why have you done it? It's like people who ride unicycles. You just go, why are you doing it? I mean, sort of, it's interesting to see, but why? What got you into this? As opposed to the many other ways that you could get
around. I was thinking about a unicycle the other day, because, you know, it's front-wheel drive, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you had an enormous amount of leg cranking power, you might be able to do a burnout.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Or would that not work?
I think that wouldn't work, even if you were on a very
skiddy Cornish road.
Because
going up a hill,
if you're wheel spinning on the spot, I'm not sure you're then maintaining the sort of centrifugal force that
you've got all your weight over the front wheel as well, haven't you? Really, on a unicycle, so it's good grip potential.
Someone cleverer than me will write in and explain the physics of this, but I sort of have a feeling that a static unicycle isn't going to stay up.
Of course it isn't. I hadn't even thought about the balance element. What an idiot.
So, yeah.
So Paul Dart is not going to... He's going to leave that parked in the pub car park next to... next to Ridgely's strake damage testy.
Do they make mountain unicycles? So you could ride the coast path home.
Do they?
No, I don't know. I bet they don't. I mean, what would you do? How would you ride up an off-road course in a unicycle? I don't know. Maybe they do.
Okay, which one do you look more of a bell riding? A unicycle or a Segway?
Oh.
Because it's a difficult one.
I thought you were going to say a recumbent bicycle.
Well, recumbent, I actually got quite a lot of time for it, although I do think it's a bit of a time bomb for a road traffic accident, so I probably wouldn't ride one.
But they always have those incredibly tall flags on the back, don't they, for exactly that reason, because otherwise they become sort of invisible below other cars and things.
I would have a poster on the front of like a cow walking towards you, so that... Because you never see the flag, it's too high in the air. Your eye line doesn't really pick it up, unless it's, I don't know, got a raccoon's tail on it or something. But I would quite like to see, a quadrophenia spec recumbent bike. I'd like, you know, with so many mirrors that it's actually 6 feet wide, so you can't drive around it. It's the width of a car. And it would really annoy people.
It would really annoy people.
Yeah, yeah, and you've got a cycling top with a load of sort of the Who style artwork, kind of like RAF plane spec. I can't remember the name of it, but essentially it's still just a recumbent bike with loads of mirrors. You know, like 30 mirrors.
At least, yeah. I mean,
No.
Well, anyway. Again, I feel like we were supposed
to talk about something in the news this week. I thought we agreed that there's a chance we might talk about something timely, but I actually forgot what that was.
No, it's because we forgot to talk about that Merc that was sold for a huge amount of money the week before last.
Oh, yeah.
Which sort of feels like it's not a news story so much anymore. But yes, we were gonna mention.
Should we talk about it or not?
Just a really expensive car.
How much was it?
The world's most expensive car. £115 million, I think. €135 million, I think, was the...
Really?
Hammer price, as people say. Was it hammer price or was it... I actually don't know if it went to auction, did it? Or did it just get arranged?
I bet it just got arranged.
I don't know. I'm just talking toss.
I bet it was. Yeah, £114 million.
No, £115 million.
Oh, my word.
We did go for auction, I think. Hang on. This is, people are looking for car news, it's no wonder they immediately turn to this podcast.
They come to this podcast for news. This is hard hitting. We've already talked about Yeah, Lutz. We've talked about Rick Stein eating oysters for breakfast.
Andrew Ridgely. Yeah.
Cornish. Yeah. Ridgely in Cornwall. I mean, what more does one want? Yeah, so the SLR.
It was sold by. Every time I see that written down, I just see umlaut, which it's not. It's named after the guy who designed it.
The umlaut coupe. 1955, yeah. 300 SLR. Of two in existence.
Yeah, so Mercedes had both of them, and they've now decided to sell one of them. And the money is supposed to be going to a foundation they've set
up. Look at that. So
to train engineers.
It was an invitation only auction. Auction. O C T I O N. Gosh, yeah. So. The previous record of a car being sold was something like 40 million quid, I think, and it was almost certainly a GTO Ferrari.
I don't know, actually. Usually is a GTO, isn't
it's
it?
It's usually around about sort of 35 to 40-ish million quid. I think that's always, in my head, that's always the most expensive car that's ever sold, 250 GTO. Mm. It's Nick Mason. He keeps selling it and having second thoughts and then going, oh... But there's nothing else that could possibly replace it. So he phones up the owner he's just sold it to and go, look, I'll give you 10% more.
Can I have it back?
I'll give you 10% more. And he's like, what? Okay, I mean, all right, whatever. I've made loads of money in about 24 hours because Nick just keeps changing his mind. So, yeah, Nick Mason's car, it's an 8-owner 250 GTO, but they're all Nick Mason.
Yes. That's why he's still touring. He just needs to keep the money coming in to fund his indecisive GTO habits.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with multiple marriage issues or anything, which is usually the case. It's just to do with, I shouldn't have sold it. Damn.
Okay. I don't think it is with him, actually. I think he's been married to the same woman for ages.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Well done him. That's probably not easy.
Well, he's not your typical rock star, is he? Because he's much more sort of,
Sedate. Sort of sedate's the wrong word.
Quietly cerebral man.
Yeah, and, a bit like Brian May. He's,
yes.
Because Mays, he's quite, down to earth. I think he appreciates life to its full, but he's kind of a wholesome guy, not a shallow sort.
Yeah, I'd always got the impression that when Freddie Mercury was like, right, I've ordered 97 kilos of cocaine and some of the world's finest champagne, and when everyone gets here, we're going to have a party. And Brian May would go...
I'm off to bed.
I'm going to go in the other room and read a book, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've got a lathe around the back. I'm going to make another guitar.
I thought we established some time ago in one of our videos that Brian May can't use the Queen lathe because...
Oh, yes.
He's extremely flammable because of his large, visibly dry hair.
His hair getting caught in any machinery, but also did they used to wear a very thin tie? And again, extremely dangerous around power tools.
Extremely dangerous. He can't use anything with the moving sort of parts. Roger Taylor, again, because of his silk scarves.
Oh, gosh, awful.
Freddie's too off his face, and this is why I think we established before that John Deacon was the only member of Queen qualified to do any sort of machining.
To use a lathe,
yeah,
that would be a great pub quiz question. Who out of Queen could use a lathe and not die? But then these days, of course, we've got other machines that can do it. So to be honest, Brian, whilst he's reading a book, he just feeds a bit of CAD into the computer, and he's got a six-way CNC. Machine in the garage that's water cooled, and it's a massive cabinet, so you could CNC machine a Gibson Flying V in a matter of 2 hours. So by the time he's finished another book about hedgehogs,
hedgehogs in space.
Yeah, he's got himself
his
a titanium.
Two favorite things.
Yeah, he's got himself a titanium billet Flying V that's worth about 160,000 quid.
When every time I hear the expression CNC milling machine,
yes,
I cannot separate it in my head from CNC Music Factory, who did Things That Make You Go Hmm.
Yeah,
an excellent song.
That you're dating your age quite specifically by any.
Oh, yeah. Hey, now
listen.
I don't mean to embarrass you, but I had to bring this up because two shows ago we were talking about, or we were trying to work out whether we would. Both Generation X,
yes.
Or if you were a millennial because you're younger than me.
Yes.
And you said that you were born in 1977.
Did I?
And after... You did. And it's in the show. People go back and listen to it. And I was listening back to the show.
Yeah.
And I suddenly went, hang on a second. You're not, you weren't born in 1977, because I know you weren't.
No,
because
no, I wasn't.
You were born the same year as my brother, and I remember your 40th and the year that it was.
Oh my gosh, so I got my own age wrong.
I know. And I listened back to it. I listened back to it twice, and I was like, did he really say that? But I'm absolutely certain he's not. He wasn't born in 77, he was born in 79.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm a premium thickie.
But you're still Gen X, though, I believe. You're like late model. You're a late
I'm the run out, so they threw a load of extras on. I had the sunroof that swiveled out, and I had probably velour, probably a couple of extra stripes, and mud flaps as well, with the logo of the car company on.
Yeah, and a VHF radio.
Oh, that would have been great, wouldn't it? There's a question, actually. This is a question for maybe listeners who want to... communicate or whatever, or even just while you're listening to this, you could just think about it. What car sorry, that sounded really awful.
No, it's good. Here's a thought exercise.
Yeah, okay, listen guys, look, here's a thing. Think of the year you were born. What car that was new then that you would love to own? Do you go, oh, I'd have a bit of that? It's the same
that came out in the same year as you.
Probably came out. I'm going to say probably came out. Yeah. Yeah. Or an addition of it, maybe. So if it came out the year before, but they did a different engine or a trim derivative or... that's one. That's one that's quite cool, isn't it? It's a good deal.
That is...
Well, just for people like us who like to daydream about silly automotive matters, that's a downstairs toilet brainstorm right there.
I think I've got Jag XJS in my...
have you?
What's the word? You know, gang, side,
got it in my gang.
But I think also the Austin Princess. I'd probably go XJS over Princess, but it depends.
Oh, I don't know. A friend of mine's had the Straight Six Princess. Was it HLS, I think?
Yeah. I drove one of those. I drove the one that we used for some filming on Top Gear, and it was a surprisingly nice car. Very smooth.
Yeah. Ooh. So the Princess was a new launch when you were born?
The Princess came out in 75,
look at that.
But, I don't know, 79 though. What would you have? In fact, because I bought you a model of this for your birthday,
you did.
Didn't I? The W126 S-Class.
S-Class.
79.
That's right. Safest, car. Most advanced car in the world, wasn't it, at the time? Crumple zones and all that ABS. I would like one. I've never owned one, and I've nearly owned one. And I should have bought one when they were nothing. They were buttons for years. That would be cool. And in my head, I keep thinking about the first right-hand drive Golf GTI Mark One. Couldn't buy a Golf GTI before that in right-hand drive form. So the early ones were four-speed, I think.
Four-speed and single headlights still, weren't
single
they?
Headlights.
They sort of
look
quite low-key.
Yeah, well, maybe steel wheels too.
I think so.
So I'm thinking that could be quite swish. But then again, do I just... Yeah, I mean, a 126 Mercedes S-Class is quite a thing. And it stood the test of time, didn't it? It really did.
I almost bought one as well. There was one for sale not far from where I lived at the time, about 20 years ago. But it was a 420.
Yeah.
And I was very seriously thinking of buying it, because it wasn't a lot of money.
No.
At the time, relative to what you're getting. But then I did a bit of reading up and asking around, and the general consensus was that engine's a bit of a shitter.
It's compared to
the 500 or the 300. Yeah, it's a bit of a compromise, because I think they basically, they I don't know how they did it, sleeved it down or something, the 500 V8, and it's just not as good.
No, it's not.
So, not that then. But that's why I didn't buy it. I got cold feet. Yeah. I got cold feet, and I went, well, it's fine. I'll find a 500 then. Why not? Or a 560 even. Let's go full.
Did you ever watch
all out?
Did you ever watch the Car Cave that I did on the Late Break show with the guy that collected Mercedes?
Yes.
And he had some really unusual spec 126s. Really odd. You know, like hubcaps. And he had And he had one. He had an American import turbo diesel one. In such a leery colour. It was amazing. Blimmin' loved those. I'd quite like to import a turbo diesel one, actually, and run it on veg oil. Used
yeah.
Virgil.
Yeah, no.
I'm not mad.
Not just going down to Lidl and buying a trolley full of fresh stuff. I don't know.
Well, that's the
quiz. That turbo diesel's not great, though, is it?
No, it's
probably... In terms of smoothness and power and all of those other things that the other variants have lots of.
I think it's probably, we could use the term here, not all that. I think that's probably, it's probably not
I'd love a, 500 or 560 S-Class, but I wonder what the 300's like, because I've forgotten until recently how much I like a straight six.
I love a straight six. I would have one in a six, because I think, less maintenance. Ooh. Yeah, good smoothness. Are you going to drive it like a C next Tuesday? Probably not. So
no,
just tool around. I'd be down with that.
I'm trying to think. I must have driven stuff with that Merc straight six in. Yes, and it's just because I drove the new Range Rover, and
that new Range Rover.
The most pleasant engine that you could be perfectly happy with is the petrol straight six.
Is it?
It's just delightful. Yeah, it's really nice. Really nice.
The
engine.
The straight six seems to be having a bit of a renaissance, which...
I think it's because of the incoming event of hybridization of various sorts, and it's a bit easier to package stuff in a bigger car.
Yeah.
If you assume you've got the bonnet length to stick your straight six in, then it gives you more width between the arches. So I think that's why Merc have gone back to straight sixes, JLR have gone back to straight sixes, and BMW never left.
Yeah.
And I think that's why. It's probably partly a packaging thing.
Can they start making very small displacement straight sixes? I'd quite like that.
I wonder what's... Because the smallest V6 in a sort of mainstream production car was always supposed to be that 1.8 V6 in the Mazda MX-3.
The Mazda, yeah. Which I probably said this in a previous cast. I nearly bought an MOT failure, one of those, just to take the engine out and have it and put it in a cupboard for a day.
Have it.
Just so that one day I could put it in something else, because I wasn't particularly interested in that Mazda, but I was interested in the engine. I thought I'd make a lovely engine for something.
Could you have put it in your Allegro?
Don't say that.
Well, I'm just wondering, because I know you've had packaging problems with your original Honda V6 plan.
Yes, I have.
But would the Mazda unit have been small enough to get around those issues?
Yeah, it might have been. I think parts for that engine might be a problem, a bit like the C27A. Mm. The problem with the C27A, and I don't like to talk about deep Vs again, because I know we've been down that road on this cast, but that Honda Legend Rover 827 V6, the V is actually very, very open, which makes the engine very wide. Whereas really you do want a deeper V, actually. Just in case anyone ever wants to know that. There are some V engines that are very tight, and that's good, obviously, for packaging purposes. That's why things like VW VR6 engines are quite compact.
Well, so is it because that C27A is 90-degree V6, which is a bit weird?
Yeah, it's wide.
I wonder why it was. Why was it wide? Because I thought the sort of your optimum angle for a V6 was 60 degrees. So
yeah,
I don't really know. I know that that old knacker of a PRV engine that's in DeLoreans and various Renaults and Volvos and Peugeots, that's a 90-degree V6. But that's because they were planning to do a V8, sort of using the same tooling.
Yeah.
So they went, all right, we'll do it for the optimum V8 angle, and the V6 can just be a bit cack.
Yeah.
But I don't know why would Honda, unless they were planning a V8, but it's
a good question.
It's strange.
It has an awful lot going on inside the V.
Does it?
Yeah, it does, in terms of inlet.
Well, like a meeting room.
There's loads.
And a branch of boots.
That's true. There's a roof terrace as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. This time of year.
It's perfect. You get a bit of heat from the block, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's a bit of that going on.
Did I tell you, speaking of deep Vs?
Oh, gosh.
After we chatted about it on the show a few weeks ago, I pulled out off the internet a picture of Michael Douglas, the king of deep Vs. Michael Douglas in Basic Instinct, in that scene where he goes to a nightclub in a very deep V.
With nothing underneath.
with nothing underneath. Yeah. And I pulled that off the internet so that I could put it in the show notes that we do for patrons, just for people who are maybe unaware of how deep Michael Douglas's V was in Basic Instinct. Now, somehow, normally I just yank the photos off the internet, stick them on my desktop, and then upload them to our patron. Somehow, that picture accidentally ended up in a different folder.
Right.
And it was the folder full of pictures of our new house,
what?
Which is shared with my wife in our Dropbox. And my wife was showing some people she works with. They went, oh, show us pictures of your new house then. They're in a social situation. She went, oh, yeah, I've got someone. I can pull them up on my phone. Here you go, look. And she just handed her phone to the guy who owns the company she works for and went, just scroll through. They're all in there. And he got to the picture of Michael Douglas in a deep V and just went, I won't ask about this one. And my wife went, what do you mean? And he showed her. She's like, and she just went, I think that's something to do with my husband. Now, I've never met this bloke, so now I don't know what he thinks I'm like, but strange, I presume.
You've got pictures of Michael Douglas on your Dropbox.
Yeah. Even my wife, because she couldn't explain it. She just said, I assumed it was something to do with you. And I went, yeah, it was. And then I sort of slightly too hurriedly explained why I'd got that picture.
Yeah.
And she just went, okay. And I went, yeah, but you will explain it to him, right? And she went, no, not really. The moment sort of passed. And I was like, no, but he's going to think I'm really odd. And she's like, oh, it'll be all right. It'll be fine.
The king of deep
V's. I think he's already...
I bet it's not really as deep as I remember. I haven't looked for a while. But...
I have to admit, when I looked it up, it wasn't quite as deep as I remember, but it is still deeper than I think is socially appropriate.
It's of its time.
But is it, though? I mean, what time? I don't remember V's being that deep, because I do remember watching that film and going, that's a bit of a deep V, isn't it? You didn't go, he's looking cool,
okay,
in line with contemporary fashion rules.
Here's a question for you. If you had to climb into your sports car and drive somewhere today, and you had to wear one of these garments, would you go Douglas Deep V, or would you go Ridgely Archliner tennis shorts?
Oh, I think I'd go Douglas Deep V.
Would you? I couldn't. I'd have to go for the Archliner tennis shorts.
Really?
Yes.
I'd feel very self-conscious in the Archliner tennis shorts, I think.
Can you imagine if you and I were undercover policemen and we were... and one of us had the Deep V, one of us had the revealing tennis shorts, and we're on a stakeout in, let's say an Insignia.
Yes.
Or a Buick. Is it, what are they called in America? Buick LaCrosse?
Buick Regal.
Regal. Yeah. Regal. They're the Regal, aren't they? One of them.
But this cop show of ours, are we constantly getting called into the boss's office and bollocked because of our attention-grabbing undercover clothes that are, in fact, useless.
And I'm always putting one foot up on the chair when he's talking to us.
Oh, God.
And he's...
Puts it down again, Smith!
Yeah, and he's cocking an eyebrow and going, stop it, stop it. And you're truffling on an offagato, the third of the morning, in your deep V. Because your deep V is Italian, very expensive and Italian.
Oh, it's like Merino wool.
Very, very thin, but...
Beautifully tailored, yes.
And a bright colour.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm thinking...
Like a mustard yellow, perhaps?
Something that makes you look like you're from a more exotic country than what you really are from. Because you're living a lie, of course. You're an undercover cop.
But then my sort of extremely... Well, actually, no, I wouldn't, because if we've been outside at all and it's sunny, I'm going to end up with this sort of...
A V-tan.
Tan triangle, yeah. Which is... I don't think we'd be very good at being police people.
No, I really don't either, but...
anyway, that doesn't matter. Oh, since you said... You just reminded me when you said getting into your... sports car and driving for some reason.
Yeah.
But, did you see last week someone put on Twitter a picture of a new shape Land Rover Defender with the number plate Orbison?
I did.
And I thought that was just weird. Like, I suppose other people do have that surname. But even so, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
It
did just read Orbison, though, didn't it? It looked very convincing.
I'm trying to find it again now, and of course I won't. But it definitely just sort of say Orbison, and I like the fact the person who I found it. Here we go. Okay, so the person who put it up is Their Twitter handle is Rugbuddy. I wonder if this is a company of some sorts. Oh, yeah. Rugbuddy, brackets B Warmer Limited, home of the amazing Rugbuddy under rug heater.
What?
I don't know. Well, there we go. Anyway, thanks for sending us that Land Rover picture. You just got a free plug for your company there.
Yeah, brilliant.
But you've earned it because they just the tweet that accompanied the picture just said he drove all night and yeah. But it's one of those new Defenders, and the plate is ORB150N.
Oh, that's just Orbison. That is pure
so it says Orbison.
Orbison.
Yeah.
He drove all night. We can't go on about Orbison again.
No, I know. We've got
to get
know,
to you.
Orbison amnesty to go along with the Marillion amnesty that we currently have in effect.
You've actually said it. Stop it.
Yeah, sorry. And there was something else that I thought we shouldn't mention, but it's okay because we haven't mentioned it. We need some new material. Well, anyway, on that note, we should probably just start to work this one down through the gears. And before
any engine braking, are you going to do police style engine braking?
Definitely some, yeah, they're always in one gear too high, aren't they, or too low?
Too low. For extra throttle response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they still do that though.
I don't think they do.
You know, they're probably driving cars now that have got sort of turbocharged engines for the most part,
or paddle shift auto.
A paddle shift
auto.
So
many gears. If you squeeze the throttle, it'll just clog down two gears for you in a matter of milliseconds, and off you go.
But that's actually what a lot of sport modes do. Sorry, sport modes do on automatic and paddle semi-auto gearboxes. That sport mode just makes you seem like you're driving like a police officer.
That's
because they hold the gears a bit too much.
In fact,
they
should call it police mode.
Police mode. P. What's P mean? I thought it was park. No.
No. Police.
Well, it's just got a little. It's got like a little graphic of a policeman's helmet. I suppose
that looks like
country.
A bell.
Everyone
though,
else would be like, well, yeah, "Why is there a bell? What bell mode? Well, it sort of works. So it makes you
mode.
Sound like you're driving like a bell.
Sport mode is bell mode. That's exactly what it is. It's like, oh, hang on, we're going to go for full cuff, ankle, tracky bottoms and vape mode now, and you're going to be aggressively diving into the gap that people have left in order to not tailgate and holding it in the gear. You should definitely do that. Rick Stein's late for his boat that goes out to, I don't know, dredge a load of oysters up. So he's...
for his breakfast.
I don't know, what car does he use to like whiz down to the quayside ASAP in order to get on the...
Stein?
Yeah. What do you reckon Stein drives?
I don't know. I almost feel like he might have an old Defender because he's a bit sort of faux heritage, isn't he?
You wouldn't be able to turn it around in any villages in Cornwall?
I might with a 90. Take you a while.
Have you driven,
a 110, yes.
Have you driven to Cornishwall in your D90?
No.
No.
Too twee. I think the whole thing would become too
would
twee.
You'd feel like you were too much of an outsider.
Well, I am an outsider.
Well, yeah.
And I would expect to have things thrown at me because of that.
things thrown at me.
Eating a cream tea inside a retro coloured Defender.
I don't like cream teas, but anyway, that's a conversation for another
well,
day.
Well, talking
it?
Of things that make it feel like your heart's going to break, never mind your espresso ice cream, having a cream tea and then just you feel like your throat's closing up.
A little bit of heart just, murmur there, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
You get to our age, you can't be too careful about these things, but...
on that side of things, yeah.
On that side of things.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway. All right, well, before we wrap this up, I've got three things that I'd like to tell you. They are one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Bake Hake Show, in which Johnny finds a variety of ways to oven cook mild white fish. This week it's with garlic and capers. Delicious. If you don't like that, then watch The Late Break Show, which is an excellent YouTube channel about cars and has all manner of good things on it. When's your 6R4 video out?
I believe it's the 1st of June, and we can talk about it another day, but I've driven one. And it was fun and hot and smelly.
Yeah.
And definitely.
See, I've driven an RS200, but I've always wanted to drive a 6R4. But my memory of the RS200 is hot, sweaty, but fun.
We can compare notes. I've never driven an RS200.
Next time. RS. Good. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that one. We'll talk about it once it's out later this week.
I know.
The second thing I've got to tell you is that we have merch, and we have Father's Day merch, because Father's Day is coming up in... I don't know if it's... Is it American Father's Day as well? It's definitely British Father's Day.
Oh, gosh, I don't know if American Father's Day is the same.
I have a feeling that American and British Father's Days coincide, but it's the Mother's Days that don't, for some confusing reason that I'm sure Hallmark cards are responsible for. But if you are imminently expecting to celebrate Father's Day, then why not go to thelatebreakshow.com, go to the shop area and follow the Smith & Sniff button. And we're selling cards. We've got a couple of Smith & Sniff Father's Day cards. We've got an On That Side of Things card and an All That.
There's other stuff. Card. There's bundles to be had as well.
Bundles. Bundles involving Brute, the unofficial fragrance of this podcast. Whatever. But bundles involving other bits of our merch, T-shirts, mugs, stickers, and everyone comes with a bottle of Brute.
Yeah. Sadly, there's no deep V's available, but we might maybe next Father's Day we'll get an embroidered deep V on the go. We'll see. A driving jumper, that's what we'll call it.
Oh, driving jumper.
A summer driving jumper. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, in the meantime, please do go and buy our Father's Day bundles or cards or any of the other bits of merch. And the third thing I've got to tell you is that you may be familiar with the River Avon that flows through the historic city of Bath/Bath and indeed through Bradford-on-Avon.
That's right.
Town just next door. And you'll also be familiar with Stratford-upon-Avon, the home of William Shakespeare, the well-known writer. The funny thing is, those are different River Avons.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're not the same river.
Why the hell didn't I know that?
Well, I didn't know that until recently, and it slightly scrambled my mind. But
there are
five River Avons in England alone, and another three in Scotland, and there's one in Wales. And what's weird about that is that Avon is derived from the Celtic word Afon, A-F-O-N, which is still the Welsh word for river. So River Avon really means river.
Oh, go
and
away.
And the River Avon in Wales is known as the Avon, which is literally river in Welsh.
We as human beings are stupid.
We do cock it up a bit, don't we?
I mean, and also, I'm sure that Shakespeare, William, he spent more time fishing than writing, because there's a huge amount of fishing paraphernalia available made by Shakespeare. So I was always thinking, maybe that's where he got his inspiration for writing plays from. He was constantly just trying to catch the ultimate tench, but then just thought, this isn't working. So I'm going to write down some stuff while I'm waiting for the float to bob.
Fuck it. He's going to think she's dead when she's really just asleep. That'll get her on the edge of their seats. Hang on,
the float's bobbing. I've got one on the line. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Historical insight. Just one of the reasons people have made Smith & Sniff Britain's number one automotive podcast.
And thank you for that. Thanks to everyone for listening and for buying merch and for being a patron if you are.
Yes. We'll do this all again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I like bye-bye.
Bye-bye's quite good, isn't it? Might do bye-bye next time. I'll make a note of that. Remember to say bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.